Thomas, you guys missed last week. You missed Thomas, give us a testimony. Go around the last one.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Wow. We got a big group here now. Amen. Well, my name is Hector. I'm one of the staff members at the San Diego Teen Challenge Center. And I just, I'm going to briefly share with you what Teen Challenge is and also share a little bit about myself. Teen Challenge is a ministry that helps men, women, teenagers who have issues with life-controlling problems. What I mean by life-controlling problems is addictions or things that a person is not able to overcome by themselves, like alcoholism, drug addiction, homelessness, gambling, different types of issues that people may have that people get wrapped up into. You know, we label it all, I mean, the Bible pretty much labels it all as sin. So we help people with sin problems. Anger, depression, different types of things. And while we bring an individual into the facility at Teen Challenge, and what it is, it's a one-year discipleship ministry where somebody can come and learn about the power of Jesus Christ. That is what we teach at Teen Challenge. It's not necessarily Teen Challenge that changes the individual. It's God that changes the individual. God has been blessing this ministry now for over 50 years. We've been helping people. Thousands upon thousands of people have come through the doors of Teen Challenge and gone on and lived a successful life and become pastors, evangelists, missionaries. People start their own type of programs as well. Teen Challenge has been around for over 50 years. Now, Teen Challenge is a very unique program. It's very structured, it's very disciplinary, and it's not easy. It's not easy at all. You know, I myself was a drug addict, and I was actually homeless for a good amount of time in my life. And I went through different types of rehabilitation, and it seemed like they always catered to what I wanted. And because I paid a lot of money. Well, actually, I didn't pay. My family paid a lot of money. So obviously, they catered to me a lot. But when I came to Teen Challenge, I learned that I needed to learn discipline and self-control in my life. And that's one of the things that Teen Challenge teaches is discipline, self-control, learning to do the right thing, being taught to learn how to do the right thing. And this is offered to these men absolutely free of charge for 1 year. And, you know, Teen Challenge is not, it's a ministry. So just to break it down a little bit for you, Teen Challenge is a little bit like a church. It's like part like a church, kind of like a Bible school, kind of like the military. Amen. And kind of like a family. So if you wrap all those things together, that's exactly what you kind of get in Teen Challenge. It's like a church because we're always in church. We're always worshiping God. We go to chapel services in-house, is it five or six? Six times a week. And then we go out and we do choir presentations. And so we are constantly doing that. And it's a little bit like a Bible school because these guys spend a good amount of time of the week in classes, learning about Bible principles, learning how to memorize scripture, learning how to, you know, apply scripture to their life. It's a little bit like the military because you kind of got to get up at a certain time. You kind of got to go to sleep at a certain time. You kind of got to be here at a certain time. You got to be here at a certain time. And you got to be on time. Right? Right. And it's a little bit like a family because we all love each other. Am I correct? But it's not, like I said to you guys, it's not easy. But let me tell you, from experience, because I've gone through it, it's very well worth it. The experience is awesome. And, you know, the amazing thing about Teen Challenge is that when that year is up and you get your diploma and you say, congratulations, you have graduated. Now go on. We don't do that. It's time for you to go. We don't say that. We say, okay, we got some opportunities for you. We got some things that you can step into. They can come back and work at the facility for 4 months and help out with people who are just coming in off the streets. That opportunity is available to them. The opportunity to go to a ministry institute is given to them. The opportunity to go into a reentry program, which is a house where they can go and they can live there for a year, get a job, pay really low rent, and be accountable through the Teen Challenge program still. So it's a program that helps them to move on into society or move on into the ministry. Now, the success rate, you know, a lot of people wonder, well, how successful is for the person that actually graduates the one-year program. They go through the whole thing one whole year, and they graduate, and they move on. The percentage is 86% of people continue to live successful life, not after 1 year, not after two or three, but after 5 years, you're still doing good. And that is successful. Now, that's not anything that we're doing. We give that glory to the Lord, amen? That glory is to God, because God is the one that's transforming. Now, our facility here in San Diego, as a matter of fact, today it's a very busy facility. Well, actually, it's not really busy there because there's nobody actually there right now. We have people at another choir presentation on the other side of San Diego, kind of. We also have men who are working at the youth convention downtown San Diego today. And then we are here today as well. So these men stay pretty busy involved with the things of ministry. And so we have a facility that holds up to 52 men. Most of the time, it's more than that. We have more than that there. There's sometimes we have to place people on the floor until they can get a bed space. But we're always trying to help somebody. We also have an after-school program to help children in the community to prevent maybe a couple of them from not going into the lifestyles that we were involved in. And as of right now, I mean, the reason that we have, there's other choir presentations and different things going on, it's not necessarily promoting, but it's laying down the foundation because we want to open up the Women's Center here pretty soon. And we're looking at a facility, just to let you know, if you ever decide you want to go for a drive and check it out, it's located on Imperial and 66th Street, right on the corner. As our director said, it's a beautiful building. It's the most beautiful thing he's ever seen. Now, to the naked eye, it may not look as a great place. But if any of you have been involved with Teen Challenge, the facility that we have today, it's a beautiful facility. Wonderful. It's nice. It's clean. It's a great place. And it didn't always look like that. It was trash. There was homeless people living there. There was people making drugs there. And we had to get all that out and gut it out. It took a long time to build it. But you know what? God was faithful. And you know what? God is literally showing us favor with this facility that we've been looking at. The owner is willing to do just about anything to help us to get it. He's like, okay, I'll take some of the money now and then fundraise the rest and then come back and see me again. So it just seems like God is just working and orchestrating, because you know what? We need a women's facility for Teen Challenge here in the county of San Diego. We've been talking about it and talking about it, but you know what? Now we're starting to step into it. We're stepping out in faith, and we believe that that is our facility, and we believe that we will start working on it here pretty soon. Amen. So let's give God a hand for that. Now, like I said, my name is Hector, and just to give you a little background about myself, I'm 29 years old. I'll be turning 30 here pretty soon. Hitting the big 3-0. I grew up in a home, broken home, kind of, you know. Mom always working, dad alcoholic, kind of in and out of our lives. Really no structure in the household because, you know, mom was always working, dad was kind of always gone. So I pretty much did what I wanted to do. At a young age, I started drinking, got involved with marijuana, just getting involved with the wrong types of people, because it seemed like it was easier to be accepted by them than it was to be accepted by other people. They pretty much opened their arms and said, hey, come on in, man. You can get involved with us. So I started to do the things that they were doing. And then I was introduced to crystal meth. And that completely ruined my life. I seemed to be able to function when I was drinking and using marijuana. But for some reason, when I got a hold of crystal meth, I lost completely everything. Every single thing that I ever had in my life was completely destroyed. From relationships with family, to career choices, to education, cars, houses, whatever it is that I had, I lost every single thing in my life. And I've shared with you that before I came to the ministry of Teen Challenge, I have been in 4 different rehabilitation centers before I went there. I've tried every type, as in I've tried psychiatry type of rehabilitation, where I sat on the little couch thing and they're talking to me and, all right, here, take these pills and hopefully they'll make you feel better. Well, that made me feel great. I took this pill that made me feel, well, I wouldn't feel guilty about anything. And I wouldn't be depressed. So I had an excuse to use drugs without being depressed. So that didn't help me. I tried different types of counseling. As a matter of fact, this is going to sound funny to some of you guys, which this is a very expensive type of therapy. I tried to be hypnotized and told me that at the count of 3, I would never use drugs again. I literally did that. My mom paid a lot of money for that. And at the count of 3, I continued to use drugs. And every time, it's weird, but every time that I myself tried to get better, and I tried to do it on my own strength, and I tried to do it my way, it seemed like I never got better. I only got worse. It's kind of like the story in Matthew chapter 5 with a woman with the issue of blood. She tried everything, never got better, only got worse. But one day, I can remember I was living in my friend's garage, and I'm from, for those who are familiar with California, I live in a very small town by Arizona called Blythe. That's where I'm from. I'm from the country. I'm a country boy. Man. And I was sitting in a garage, because that's where I was living, and I prayed out to God. I said, God, man, if you're real, like people say you are, and these crazy people that, because people would come up to me and give me sandwiches and stuff like that and say, Jesus loves you, God loves you, he can change you, he can help you. If you're real, like you say you're real, like these people say you're real, I need your help. Because at that very moment in time, I believed that either I was going to die or I'd probably end up in prison or going to jail, in and out of jail, and going to prison. And I didn't want to live like that no more. And so the next day, I called my mom's lawyer, who had happened to get a restraining order put on me from my family. I called him up, and I said, hey, you know what, man? I need some help. You know anywhere I can get some help? He said, well, haven't you tried to get help? I said, I've tried everything. He goes, I don't think you tried everything, but I have this place that you might want to go to. And I was like, well, what's it called? He said, it's called Teen Challenge. And I said, well, I'm not a teenager, sir. He's like, well, no, they help people of all ages. I said, all right, well, so how much does it cost? Because I kind of broke in every bridge that I can think of that can help me out. He's like, it's absolutely free. Well, how long is it? Because I need to go somewhere for a good amount of time. He said, oh, you can stay there as long as you want. They'll help you. All right, I'll go. So I show up to the doors of Teen Challenge of May 31st of 2004. I step in there, and it's weird. Because everybody is up. They came up. First thing they did is they came up and said, oh, brother, hey, hi, welcome to Teen. And I'm like, whoa, this is kind of weird. Okay. Have a seat. And this guy comes out and prays, and and the music starts and people are clapping and singing and raising their hands, and I'm like, man, I came to the wrong place. These people are not, they're a little, you know, I thought they were a little crazy, dude, you know? And so I don't know what it was at that time. I didn't know what it was. But in my heart, I just felt like it was the right thing. Even though it seemed weird and it's not what I'm usually doing, you know, let's give this a shot. And so I went into Teen Challenge. A month later, because I was a little hard-headed, a month later, I said, you know what, it's time to just surrender fully. It's just time. You've tried everything else, Hector. You've tried everything. Why don't you just give God the fair opportunity to work in your life? And so that's what I did. I went up to the front. I got prayed for. I prayed that Jesus would come into my heart. And then I just started weeping and crying. And it was weird for me at that time. But it felt so good. And then I fell on my knees, and I was there for a while. But when I got up off the ground, when I got up off that floor and stood up, something in my heart assured me that I would never be the same again, that I'd never be that man anymore. And here we are 6 years later. Amen. God is able to transform and change. I share that with you today. I share that with you today because I've gone before a judge, and he told me, I don't know why I continue to waste my time with you. I've been told, you're never going to amount to nothing. You're always going to be who you are. But you know what? Have faith. Have hope for that person that you may be involved with in your life, because you never know. In 6 years, they may be doing something like this today. Or not too long from now, they may be doing something like this today. God is able to do all things. Amen? Amen. Hey, at this time, I'm going to have the Teen Challenge Choir going to start making their way up at this time. Let's give them a hand. Let's give them a hand. Yes, sir. Sorry about that. It's okay. Come on up, guys. Let's go. Let's give God a hand this morning. Amen. Now, I just want to share with all, that this is not something that we're used to doing. We're not used to, you know, if I would have went up to these men, I don't know, I'd say five. I'll go back as far as 6 months. If I would have went up to one of these guys about 6 months ago and said, hey, buddy, guess what? In 6 months from now, me, you, and a group of guys, we're going to be at City Heights Assembly of God, and we're going to be singing in a choir. They probably would have said to me, sir, with all due respect, I think you're crazy. Get away from me. Literally, get away from me. They probably would have said something like that. Because most of them, they don't even know where the heck City Heights is, because some of them are not even from San Diego. Some of them are from different parts of the state, and some of them are different parts of the country. And so this is something brand new to them. And I want to let you know that I don't force them to be here right now. I don't force them. A lot of them come up to me, ask me, hey, when are we going to go on choir, man? I want to go. Now, do you know what that is? And this is coming. I just want to share with you. This is coming from people who've been to prison. This is coming from an individual that might have been homeless, that might have been involved with drugs, that might have been involved with alcoholism, that might have been involved with gang activity, that might have been involved with some crazy things in this world. But today, they're doing the Lord's work. Amen. You want to know what I believe that to be? I believe that to be the transformation that's already occurring in their hearts. And I also believe that they've tasted that the Lord is good. And when, because I lived a lie for a very long time. I thought that being homeless and doing those things that it's an okay thing to do. Like robbing people and stealing. I thought normal people did that. That's how deceived I was. And so when you get a hold of the truth and you see the truth, that's all you want from now on. When you see that God is real, you're like, man, I got to hold on to this because this is real. Hey, at this time, I'm going to have one of these gentlemen come and share their testimony with you. I'm going to ask Mike Moran to come over here and share his testimony with you this morning.
Okay, this is my first time. Hi, I'm Mike Moran. I'm 33 years old. I grew up in Northern California, up in the wine country. I come from a great family. I was raised very well, had a good life, went to college. The only two problems in my life at an early age was I was insecure and I was lonely. And I felt the hole from a very early age that I was always trying to fill. And starting in college, I tried to fill it with the wrong things. I started drinking, started using marijuana. Started using people, trying to be around girls, be cool, do whatever I could do to fit in, not feel so lonely. I ended up moving to Las Vegas, about 23 years old, became a blackjack dealer, was trying to entertain people and find some love there, find a cure for my loneliness, try to fill my hole. 26 years old, I was introduced to crystal meth. I spent the next 6 years wrapping myself into the deepest kind of bondage and slavery I can imagine. I lost my house. I lost my car. I lost everybody in my life that loved me, except for the ones that loved me unconditionally. And I felt more alone than ever. That's all behind me now. I'm not alone anymore. I'm not in bondage anymore. I've been set free. I always knew about Jesus, but I was always doing this to him. And I was always saying, no, God, I'll come to you later. No, God, let me fix my life before I get to you. Well, I couldn't do it without God. I don't smoke cigarettes anymore. I don't do drugs anymore. I don't hardly swear anymore. I don't use people. I have people that I love with all my heart and that love me back. God's given me my family back. I have a fiance waiting for me when I get out of this program. All I've ever wanted was to be a father, to be a husband, and have a family and not be alone. And I don't ever feel lonely anymore. God brought me to my knees, but he did it gently, which I thank him for. He saved my life, and he's teaching me things now that I can't believe I didn't know about. I was raised in church, but I never had a relationship with God before. I do now, and I just thank him for it every day. I pray 90% of my prayers are just thank you. A lot of people would look at my life and think that I don't have much going for me right now, but I've got more than I've ever had, and I thank Teen Challenge. Because God's in Teen Challenge, and then now I'm in Teen Challenge, so now God's in me finally. So thank you for hearing my testimony.
Amen. I just want to share with you something really quick. I saw my cell phone blinking over there, so I went over there and grabbed it because me and my wife are on baby watch right now. So, so praise the Lord on that. If blink, it wasn't that, so I'm okay. That'd be kind of crazy right now, huh? We're expecting it from, the doctor said today throughout this whole week, it can happen anytime, so we're kind of working on. So I was like, oh my gosh. But amen. God knows what we got to do today. He's going to hold it off for a while. Amen.
Hey, how you guys doing? Name is Alton Clark, and I guess I'll give you my testimony as well. 21 right now, and just entered into the Teen Challenge program about 2 months ago. And I guess the main reason that I entered into it is because I'm just like Mike Moran, I was looking for love. Unlike a lot of the people in this program, I was never homeless. I was never down and out too much. My parents and my family have always supported me through everything. Even through my hard times, they've been there through the hard times and the good times. And actually, I was raised in the church. I went to Christian school all my life, and I just backslid. And I was living with one foot in the world and trying to walk with one foot for God, and very, very ineffective. You know, it's not good to be a half-hearted Christian. And so I would always just have this longing. And, you know, I know God was always there to fill it, but he actually, I wouldn't let him. You know, I put up a barrier between myself and Christ with my sin. And as a result of that, you know, I always, you know, there's a spot in your heart that only Christ can fill. And I always had this just this deep longing feeling inside of me. And so I started to fill it with drugs, and I started to fill it with drinking, and I started to fill it with chasing after relationships and chasing after friendships. And, you know, I actually, everything that I did wouldn't fill it. And then so I started trying even more on myself, relying more on myself. I went to school, tried to push myself more in school, thought that would fill it. Successes there wouldn't do it. Tried to push myself more work. Successes there wouldn't do it. And, you know, I got to this point where I just got fed up with life, really. And, you know, nothing that I did would satisfy me. I had a good job. I was doing good in school. I had a good family. I had good friends. But, you know, it just came to the point where I was like, kind of like Ecclesiastes, you know, I didn't see anything in life that was satisfying, really. And I just saw no point to living, actually. And on July 27th of this year, I actually decided that I was going to try to commit suicide. And so One day I prayed to God. You know, I was actually involved in the church at that time, and I said, I know you got many mansions up in heaven, and I know you look down on suicide, but all I want is a little shack. And I stepped out onto the train tracks and let an oncoming train hit me, and don't know how I survived. Well, you know, by God's grace, I survived. Woke up in the hospital, had half my church around me, praying for me. My pastor was there, reading Psalms, just praising God for the fact that I even survived. The doctor said that I wouldn't be able to walk again, wouldn't have use of my left hand anymore, and that I was just lucky to be alive. I broke my left femur came out of my leg. I broke my ankle. I shattered my humerus. I got metal rods going in my arm, metal rods going in my leg, and you know, it was just through prayer. There was a couple churches praying for me, and I just found myself. literally a couple weeks later, a couple weeks after I got out of the hospital, I found myself walking, and I just saw God really moving in my life. And during that time, because there was about a 5-week period where I couldn't walk at all, I started to dedicate myself more and more to God, and I just saw his light. But, you know, I still struggled with my drug addictions, and that brought me to Teen Challenge. And ever since I've gotten there, I've actually been able to give everything completely to the Lord. I've seen his power. I've seen how he works. I've seen how he heals you. And if he has a purpose for you, there's nothing that you could do to stop that. And I'm just at a point now where I've dedicated my life to him. I'm finally satisfied. I finally don't have that longing feeling. You know, I finally just want to live, and I want to live for Christ. And it's a powerful thing what God does for you. And just give him all the glory.
Amen. It's a powerful testimony. God is he's amazing. As our brother was saying, he's good, he's amazing. It's hard to describe and say in words, you know, but the amazing thing about God is that he does not give up on us. You know, people might give up on you, and you might think, well, you know what, that's it, nobody else wants me. But God always wants us. Even at the lowest of our low, God wants us. And that's amazing to hear that testimony, because you know he's got something to do in this world, because God wouldn't just let him go. Each one of these men have something to do in this world, something great. You know, and, you know, that's just the amazing thing about God. Amen. Hey, at this time.
Hi, y'all. How y'all doing? My name's Sam. I am 19 years old. I actually came from a pretty well Christian family. When I was younger, my dad, not so much my mom, was always Christian. You know, let's get up in the morning, let's go to church. My dad was like, right? Well, I kind of had no choice. So, you know, as I grew up a Christian. And then when I was about 11 years old, my mom and dad got divorced. And 12 years, when I hit 12, 3 weeks after the divorce went through, my mom dies in a car accident. It hurt me bad. That's when I actually became a very bad kid. I got into fighting. I got into a lot of suspensions from school. My dad got furious at me. I went to group homes because my dad just couldn't take it anymore. I started getting even angrier, started building up anger, and, you know, just want to help. And So when I turned 15, well, actually, no, when I was 14, I started using weed. And, you know, I loved it. It was all right. And then I started, like, trying other things. I did coke. I didn't get addicted to it, but I did coke. I did crystal a couple times, and it just didn't work for me. So, you know, I finally got back together with my family. My dad got remarried when I was about 17. When I hit 18, I kind of got in a fight with his wife, and I moved out of the house. Well, I owned my own apartment when I was 18, and, you know, I thought everything was cool. I was like, yeah, you know, I got my own place, you know, no parents allowed. Well, I got a job, I got my own car, you know, I had everything set for me. Well, I was stupid one day, and I decided to come to school high. And at the time, I had a girlfriend at the time, and, you know, I went to jail. That was my first time I went to jail because I assaulted a minor without knowing. The kid, he threw my girlfriend up against the wall when I was coming out with my lunch. I chucked my lunch at him, and then I came with a fist. And when I was in handcuffs, they're like, yeah, he's 17. I'm 18. So I went to jail for 6 months, and, you know, it didn't work out. I got introduced to Teen Challenge by my aunt. She was like, you know, there's a place for you called Teen Challenge. I was like, well, what is it about? She's all, it's a drug rehab program. It's free for a year, you know. And I was like, all right, you know, I'll go to it. Well, the first day I got there, I thought everybody was crazy and everybody was singing and, holy the Lord. I'm like, oh, man, this is not cool. I just want to go back to drugs, right? Well, you know, I start hanging out. So I, you know, 2 weeks later, I was like, all right, this is pretty good. So I am going on to the next phase of Teen Challenge next month, hopefully, off to Riverside. I've been in this program for 2 months now. What I actually hope that God will do in my life is help me re-enlist the United States Marine Corps for after I got a Teen Challenge, because I actually got accepted to it. I talked to my recruiter before I came into Teen Challenge, and he was like, you know, what are you doing? I was like, well, I'm going to go to a drug rehab program for a year. And then after I get out, he's like, when you get out, come see me, and we'll put you in a basic training. So...
Amen. I think Sam is our shortest guy on our program. No, I'm just kidding. That would be him. You know, the amazing thing about Sam is when he first got here, he was a little angry individual. A little angry, right? Little? And as a matter of fact, our first choir package that we had, he came up to me right after. He said, hey, I don't never want to go in choir. I said, all right, bro, you know. And not too long after that, what did you say? Say, amen. God is working. Amen. I want to have another gentleman come and share his testimony with you. I'm going to have Chris House come over here and share with you his testimony.
How's it going? My name is Chris. I'm 25 years old. I'm from Riverside County. I came from kind of a broken home. My family didn't like each other. My dad was a drug addict. He left when I was about 7 years old. And so it was my mom and grandma who raised me. And I started middle school, and I started doing weed and hanging out with the crowd that smoked weed, the class clown type thing. And we kept moving around a lot. And I remember getting into high school and finally found something I liked, which was football, and ended up going to parties, drinking. That was my next high. And I remember getting a phone call. I was 18 years old, and it was my dad had gotten an accident, and they wanted me to go and see him. So I went to the hospital, bars all over, didn't recognize him, didn't know who he was. And he ended up passing away 2 weeks later. And I was trying to do high school. I was drinking a lot. And they had me plan the funeral and all that stuff. And I started getting heavier and heavier and drinking. Started hanging out with even the worst crowds, fighting. My grandma had got cancer a year ago. And watching her pass away wasn't the most pleasant thing. You know, she had raised me since I was six. You know, that's my other mother. And she ended up passing away last December. And back then, I was devastated. And I started drinking heavily, getting more and more into the weed and partying and just trying to forget everything. And started to feel hopeless, started to feel lonely. to the point where I didn't know why I lived. I don't know why I was on this earth. And about 4 months ago, my mom tried to get me to go to church, and I kept telling her no. And finally, for some reason, I went, and it was a small church. And the pastor came up to me, and he goes, your mom told me you had an issue. What was going on? And I told him. And he did everything he could to help me. And when I thought I was saved, I wasn't. I backslid again. Ended up going to work drunk, losing my job. Ended up getting more and more into it. And basically, I was drinking to kill myself, what it was. And the doctor told me, he goes, I don't know how you're still living. She goes, you better quit now or you don't have another year left in you. And I remember I went to my first rehab. I came out of my first rehab, went back to church, backslid again. And I remember going to Teen Challenge, actually. I went to Teen Challenge looking for a sober living house. And they told me it was a one-year program. I said, no, thank you. And funny thing was, I went back to the castle in Riverside and filled out the application. And they said, okay, we'll get you in, as soon as possible, And it was a couple months went by, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm still in the middle of drinking. And 3 months went by and stopped going to church. And I remember I went to church. It was a week before they accepted me because they told me it was meeting in a month. And I told my pastor, I said, I can't wait for Teen Challenge no more. I don't think I have another month left in me, And he told me, he goes, just pray on it, and something good's going to happen, And I said, no, I'm just going to go find another job and just continue on, And I went home, and I went to my room, and I prayed to the Lord. I said, I can't take it no more, I need you to do something in my life now. I'm trying. I'm doing my part. I'm trying, And the next day, it was a Monday, and my mom came home early from work, and I was like, that's weird, She goes, go pack your bags. You're going to San Diego to Teen Challenge. And I said, oh, okay. So I packed my bags, and on September 14th, I walked in Teen Challenge. Ever since I've been in here, I'm no longer angry. I feel like I have a purpose. I'm here for a reason. And I'm hoping to move on to the next stage next month, or this month, actually. And I'm just going to keep following the Lord.
Amen. Now, as we've been sharing and we've been giving our, some of us have been sharing our testimonies with you, and you can tell they're not prescripted. They're not in vain. They come from the heart. I'm pretty sure some of you guys have caught on to that. And the hope that's behind the words that they're saying. It's like I know when I come up here and I share with you, I know in my heart that I really believe what I'm talking about. And that's what these men, they really believe that God is going to come through. And they should. They should believe that. They have hope in their heart. And I was sharing with you earlier that I shared earlier that, some people think that they have no hope. Maybe you yourself know an individual that may feel like that. You might be related to the individual. You might just know them, or they're an acquaintance, or whatever the case may be. But don't give up. Don't give up on them. Keep praying. I myself am a project of a praying grandmother. I never went to church when I was younger, but my grandmother, I've shared this many times, my grandmother pretty much lived at church. And what I mean by living at, she didn't actually live in the church, but if there was a Monday night Bible study or a Wednesday night women's meeting or whatever the case may be, she was there. So she'd be at church like 5 days a week. And she prayed for me every single day. I know she did. Because I used to come to her house at crazy hours of the night, and I'd knock on her door and say, Grandma, I'm hungry. She'd have me come in and eat. 2 or 3 in the morning. Then I get the courage to say, hey, Grandma, hey, can you throw me a couple bucks my way? She's like, absolutely not. I ain't going to give you anything. I'm giving you what you're going to get right now, and that's it. I'm not giving you no money because I know what you're going to go do with it. But she told me something that I used to think was crazy. She said, but you know what? I'm praying for you. God rest her soul. She passed away this last February, but she got to see her prayer answered. Keep the faith, because there is hope. There is hope. Like I said earlier, pray for that person. You never know. They may be up here the next time we're here. You never know. God is able to do all things. God is able to do all things. I'm pretty sure if we asked these men, would you think this would ever happen? No. They would tell you no. But God is able to do all things. Everything is possible with God. Amen? Amen. Hey, at this time, we're going to sing our last song.